Zechariah chapter 1, as we start a series on Wednesday nights on this wonderful book of the Old Testament, this Gospel according to Zechariah. I would like to read the first two verses of this chapter, and then we're going to look mainly at verse 1. There's so many rich verses in this chapter that have to do with the glory of the Messiah, the glory of Christ, our redemption, our sanctification. So much is said in here, but it begins in this verse. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Now I asked myself three questions when I read this verse of Scripture, and we're going to deal with those three questions for part of our lesson tonight. The first question that I asked is, where did the word of the Lord come to Zechariah? And I found this answer, and we'll look up some verses in just a moment. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah to this world where Zechariah lived. Secondly, when did the word of the Lord come to Zechariah? It was during the reign of a very pagan king. It doesn't take us long to study about the Persians to find out they had many gods and they were ruthless folks. They were a pagan group. And number three, who was the Zechariah the word sent his message to? And we find right here in this passage of Scripture that this man is the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet. So looking at these three questions that were brought up that I found interesting, where did the word of the Lord come to Zechariah? It came to this world. What was this place like? We know the answer to that. It doesn't take us very long to read in the Scriptures to find out that the world at one time, the creation at one time, was altogether lovely. And we realize as a result of the fall of Adam, and that fall, the sin of Adam is imputed to us, and we have our own sin too, that this world, every atom of this world, was touched by the fall. And if you would turn with me just a few books into the New Testament, since we're only two books away, the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, and verse 9. These words are recorded about the entrance of the Messiah, and yet they speak volumes about the condition of the world when the Messiah came. And this is the same condition of the world in the days of Zechariah, same condition of the world in the days of Isaiah, same condition of the world in the days of Moses or Job. The condition of the world has not changed. It has not been modified. It has not been improved upon. But here in the book of John, chapter 1, and there in verse 9, it says, This was the true light. Now, John is speaking about the Lord Jesus. This was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Now, we know that this he is speaking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He was in the world. He came into the world. He came and tabernacled among us. He came and tabernacled among humanity. We know the story about his coming, the word of God concerning his coming. It says that he was in the world and the world was made by him. And here's the condition that he was met with, though. The Creator God, the Lord God Almighty, was met with this condition. The world knew him not. Now, that's a sad condition when the God of heaven comes to this earth in the person of Christ Jesus, and this is the commentary about the world and what it knew about God. The world knew him not. There was not a single individual that by nature that has ever been born that would know God in the Spirit. We must be born again, we must be regenerated, we must be quickened, we must have the Spirit dwell in us. And then we have this realization, we have this recognition about God. And we're going to have pretty much the same recognition about God. We're going to have pretty much the same realization about God, because God does not give his new birth to people that continue to think about him as a little God. He gives his new birth to people, and in that, they are caused to know him as Lord. Goes on to say in verse 11 of this chapter, and this is the place that the word of the Lord came to, that we read about over in Zechariah. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now we can say a lot about that. We can say, oh, that's the Jews. We can say that about every lost sheep. Everyone who is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this is also their commentary. They received him not. And the only way that we will receive him as he gives us the heart to believe. And then we receive him. So Zechariah lived in a world that is written about here in the book of John, or written in the book of any book of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Would you look at me in the book, look with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 shares a great deal about what kind of place the word of the Lord came to. Now, the more we read about the place that the word of the Lord came to, the more we realize it was all of grace that anybody ever had the word of the Lord. It is not the best of places. God came in the flesh and no man knew him. God came in the flesh and no man received him. We know the next verse there in that list, though. To those he had appointed, to those he loved, to those he died for, they would look upon him as Lord. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So this is the description of humanity that Zechariah lived in, the world that he lived in, at the time that the word of the Lord came to him. So once again, we have to comment that if it wasn't for the grace of God, there would be no reason for God to come into the place of that condition. Nobody was looking for him except those who were appointed, those who had the revelation of Jesus Christ, but they didn't have it by nature. Now, Zechariah, by nature, didn't have anything. He falls into the same group of folks. And then we read over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, that they were dead in trespasses and sins. So this is where the word came. It came to the world. Now, we can say it came to Jerusalem. It came to a group of folks that had left the Babylonian or the Persian. They'd been held there for 70 years, the captivity. We could say it came to the Dalles, wherever the word of the Lord comes. This is the condition that it comes to. There is nobody there by nature that will recognize anything that God has ever done, ever will do, and will not recognize the God of heaven. So by the grace of God, God sent his word to Zechariah, or to Malachi, or to Isaiah, or to any of the other prophets. All of those that make up the world at any one time all have a serious sickness, serious death, serious departure from God and the truth. That is where Zechariah was, when the word of Jehovah came unto Zechariah. There is a pearl of great price in a swine yard. The word of the Lord, a pearl of great price. Now we know the Lord is the pearl of great price, but the word of the Lord, the word of God, is also a pearl. And it came to a very serious place that is a terrible place. Now, number two, when did the word of the Lord come to Zechariah? It was amazing that Darius would be mentioned in that verse of Scripture. And yet the Lord was pleased to have the Holy Spirit give that to Zechariah, that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah during the reign of Darius. Darius is a pagan king. Darius is a king. He's a pagan king. He reigned there, was not a Christian king. And I wonder sometimes if there ever truly has been a Christian king. Ruler. They have some, we call it Christian principles, But I wonder if there's ever been anybody that has ever ruled that was truly a born-again believer. If there was, thank God. But generally speaking, the truth of the word of the Lord comes during the rule of a pagan king, a pagan empire. When Christ was up on the earth, he was born into an empire, but this empire was the Roman Empire, and it was far from ever being a Christian empire. The king of the Persians, Darius, or his grandfather or uncle, depending on who you read, the Cyrus, they had nothing that would show to us that they were Christian. Now, we do find that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns that heart whithersoever he will. So when it came time, Cyrus's heart was turned by the Lord. When it came time, Darius's heart was turned by the Lord. But that's the time that Zechariah lived. He lived during the reign of Darius the king. And we find not much said in Jerusalem about any person that was in an authority position. It was during the time of Darius. Now, I had to ask myself, who was this Zechariah that this word of God came to? And we find that it was not someone especially special. He was not specially raised. He was not raised in an area where there was no sin. He was not raised in a family where there was no sin. He was not specially treated in any way that made him acceptable to have the word of God come to him. God did not send his word to Zechariah because Zechariah in himself was righteous or in himself had done good works. But he came to Zechariah, and he is identified in verse 1 of that verse of scripture. He's the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. You know what Zechariah could do? He could trace his line right back to Adam. He's a lot closer at this time, but he could trace his line right back to Adam. And if you can trace your line right back to Adam, which anybody can do, all we have to do is say, I can trace my line right back to Noah, and I can trace my line right back to Adam. Now, I don't know the individual steps, but I know that that's for certain. Anybody that can do that is tracing their line back to a very sinful man that took this world from light to darkness, took this world from life to death, took this world from a very special place to a place where sin was evident in everything. He was a very special person only because of grace. What does this mean? He could trace his line back to someone that sinned, and that sin is imputed to us. Adam's sin. We, in every sense of the word, were in Adam when he sinned. And yet, Zechariah was a sinner saved by grace. We find over in 2 Peter, would you turn there with me? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we find that Zechariah enters a group of folks, like quite a number of other folks. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter enters into a group of folks, like many folks, the folks that were used to give us the Old Testament and the New Testament. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God. Now, there's only way we get holiness. We don't grow it. We don't raise it. We don't bring it. It's something that God gives to us. Holy men of God. They were sinners saved by grace. Zechariah is a sinner saved by grace. Zechariah is a sinner saved by grace. He was born again. He was brought to this place where God revealed himself to him. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Zechariah fits into this group of those folks, Old Testament and New Testament, that were used of God. They were born again believers. Now we have record of folks that were not believers in those books. But those books were written as they were secretaries of a holy God. and their holiness was God's holiness given to them, and they spake, holy men of God spake as they were moved. Now there's an interesting verse over in the book of Numbers, chapter 16. Moses says this. Book of Numbers, chapter 16. Moses said this, and he recognized something about the Word of God. He recognized something about him and the Word of God, and it's brought out here in Numbers, chapter 16, and verse 28. Numbers, chapter 16, and verse 28. Moses said, Numbers, chapter 16, and verse 28. Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works. How? For I have not done them of my own mind. I was unable. I was not creative enough. I couldn't come to the conclusions out here. Moses said, hereby shall ye know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these things, for I have not done them on my own mind. And that's the words that every gospel preacher will say. That's the word every prophet will say. These are not my words. God gave them to me. And by his grace, I was able to record them. And by the preserving grace of God, his word was preserved. If it hadn't been for that, it would not be here today. In the book of 2 Samuel, David has this to say. We've turned here a number of times in our ministry because these are the last words of David. But he said something here in 2 Samuel chapter 23 that he also knew that he spoke not of his own words, but the words of the Lord. Chapter 23 of the book of 2 Samuel, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. That's what Zechariah could easily say. That's what David could, he said it right here. That's what Moses would say. That's what Isaiah would say. That's what Jeremiah would say. That's any of the writers of the Old Testament would say, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. He used me as his secretary. I may have had the pen in my hand. I may have had the paper out in front of me. But when that pen moved, it was the word of the Lord recorded. And that word was absolutely God-given. It was a perfect word of God as it was given to these folks. And also, if you'll turn with me back to the New Testament, over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1. What a blessing that Luke chapter 1 is. And in it, we find some thoughts about Zechariah and Zechariah's writings. Because he's mentioned here, not by name, but by person, the term prophet. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. We have these words. So the word of the Lord came down to this sin-cursed earth. He came down to this earth. We find that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah during a generally wicked time, just like it is today, and like it was yesterday, excuse me, and it will be in the future. There's been no perfect times in this fallen earth. And then we read that the word of the Lord came to a man who could trace his line right back to Adam. By one man, sin entered the world. And so Zechariah was right in that direct line. Here in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 68, scriptures say, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So since the very foundation of the world, it was given unto his holy prophets, the things that were going on. Now, of course, not everything that ever happened is recorded in the Word, but everything God intended for us to have is here. Every word of the Lord that he intended for us to have. So he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Never a moment since the time of creation has there not been a place upon this earth where someone was preaching the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus. Never had to be brought out of the Reformation, never had to be brought out of a time when there was no faith, when there was no gospel, when there was no preaching. It has always been here, and thanks be unto God. It has and will continue until that day when the last sheep is saved. In that passage of scripture that we looked at in the book of Zechariah, there is an interesting phrase that is used. Would you go back there with me? Chapter 1, verse 1. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord is mentioned there in Zechariah. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. We know that Zechariah was a sinner saved by grace. God gave him the word of the Lord. God gave him what he intended for him to write. And Zechariah, when he sat down to write, did not add one jot or one tittle to what God had given him. Here we find in the scriptures, and I'm just going to look at a few verses here in the New Testament, where this term, word of the Lord, is used. What a statement that the word of the Lord. Now, we look in the New Testament and we find the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is called the Word. In the Old Testament, God gave to his holy prophets the word of the Lord. For us, it's difficult for us to differentiate between the written word and the word, because in every sense of the word, they are the same. Jesus Christ was spoken of by these holy prophets. He is spoken of by the New Testament apostles and prophets. And he is declared by all those preachers of the Old and New Testaments, all those prophets of the Old and New Testament. And here, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, we have these words written about a man by the name of Peter. Now, the Holy Spirit, after Jesus is betrayed, we have these words about Peter. Now, Peter leaves us an example, and this is an example that the Holy Spirit will give to every one of his believers. The ability is given to every one of his believers. What do we find here in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61? The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Now, who's he making reference to? The word of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The word of the Lord. And this word of the Lord, spoke to Peter, and at first he had no comprehension. In fact, he had a great amount of denial that what Jesus said would come to pass. But we find after the fact that he remembered something. Now, we are thankful when God brings to our mind the word of the Lord. Whether it be Zechariah, whether it be Isaiah, or whether it be just like an incident here, we delight in hearing and remembering the word of the Lord concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection from the Old Testament. But just as good as that is for the Lord to cause us to remember words he said about us and to us and for us. For he goes right here and he says, Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him. He remembered the word of the Lord. He is declaring his deity. He's declaring his veracity. And he's declaring his truthfulness. And yet it is all about him, how he had said unto him. Now, Peter, I'm sure after the fact, would have rather not had the part in here that's the word of the Lord, but it's right here for us. He says, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now, in the end, Peter was thankful that he heard and understood the word of the Lord. What is promised by the Spirit of God? He'll convince us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. God is gracious to give us this information. And here it says that Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him. Now, probably he didn't like what's written, but he did remember what God said to him. And how precious that is. This is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord Jesus. This is the word of him. And it never is thrown out just for common hearing. It is given for his sheep. Travel just a little bit here in the book of the New Testament to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 25. And we're going to find as we go through the book of Zechariah, these passages speak about what took place over there. What was that that Zechariah was told to say to those that were going to be his hearers? The first words, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. That's Zechariah chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to have the message of these prophets in the New Testament, the message of these preachers, apostles in the New Testament, is going to reflect much of what Zechariah had to say. They know firsthand who the Lord is. He is going to be declaring firsthand, as an author of the Scriptures, who the Lord is. Here in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel. Now, what's the difference between the word of the Lord and the gospel? Nothing. It's another word for the same thing. So they preached the word of the Lord, as it tells us there, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord. Now, their preaching of the word of the Lord stopped at the end of Malachi. But remember, just as Zechariah was given the word of the Lord, so these ministers were given the word of the Lord in the Old Testament. And it goes on to tell us there that they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaria. So they're preaching the word of the Lord, comma, contained in that, it is this, the gospel. And we know what the gospel is. That's preaching Christ and him crucified. That's preaching the absolute need for everyone to have a salvation where Christ is absolutely the only thing that we depend upon. Not any works on our part. All right, turn with me just a little bit and we should get into hallelujah moments here. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. The Gentiles were glad and glorified what the message of grace is, what the message of the Old Testament is. It is a message of the gospel. It's a message about Christ. It's a message about the Messiah. It's a message about someone who actually was going to do something about the problem that we face, and that sin. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Guess what? That became part of the word of the Lord, and we get to delight in that. Now, we could go to the Old Testament and find similar passages of Scripture, but we go to here, Acts 13, 48, and find out they glorified the word of the Lord, and those that were ordained to eternal life, they believed. And the next word, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. This is what they went with. They went with the word of the Lord. They went with a word that glorified God. They went with a word that glorified a sovereign God. They went with a word that glorified a God that before the foundation of the world, he would have a people set aside for his own glory and promise to redeem them and bring them out of the corruption of this world and set them upon a solid rock. We have the word of the Lord on that. And that's what Zechariah was going to bring to those folks. When we mentioned last week that verse of scripture, there is a fountain. It's a wonderful statement about God's great salvation to all folks that he had before the foundation of the world. In the book of Acts chapter 15, and there in verse 36, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, came down to this earth, came to him, the Spirit of God spoke to him. He was a holy man of God. God spoke to him through the Holy Spirit and bring this message to his people that we still enjoy and appreciate. Came down during a very conflicting time, age of Darius the king, and came to a man that by nature had no approval of God, had no thought, good thought towards God, and God saved him by his grace through the preaching of the gospel, and now he is used to give us those 14 chapters of the book of Zechariah. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 15 and verse 36, the scripture shares this, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. What a wonderful thought about backtracking, seeing how the folks are doing after they've heard the word of the Lord. When God works a work of grace, in the heart, it's worth going to visit the brethren. And that's what they did, where they had preached the word of the Lord, to see how they do. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, and verse 32, remember, it is the Spirit that brought the word of the Lord to Zechariah. Acts chapter 16 and verse 32, we have these words, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes. Who is this about? Philippian jailer. He just had Paul and Barnabas whipped, put in stocks, and now they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and they that were in his house, and God used that word in a glorious way, and we see the gifts that God had given him. Number one, he was not interested anymore in punishing these folks, but washing their stripes. It was the word of the Lord that they spake unto him. It wasn't, you should repent because you're a Roman soldier. It wasn't, you're born in the wrong household. It wasn't any of those things. There was no conversation about the religion he was in. There was only the need to preach the word of the Lord. Doesn't matter what religion we're in. It's the word of the Lord that gets us out. Chapter 19 of the book of Acts, verse 10. Chapter 19 and verse 10. We read these words. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, that's Asia Minor, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. What's that tell us? There's only one message. It's for Jews and Gentiles. It's for Jews and Greeks. It's for those who were of the nation of Israel plus everybody else. It's the same message. It's the word of the Lord. And there's a one word that's added there to the rest of these. It's the word of the Lord Jesus. This one. This is the one. The Lord Jesus. Both to the Jews and to the Greeks. And I can imagine to have these folks there for 2 years and preach the word of the Lord to those who came and heard, and God by his grace saved all that belonged unto him. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's where it is. That's the issue. This is the Christ. He is the issue. Let him dwell, his word dwell in you richly. You know, we don't go to, we read good books, but we don't go to them for our proof. We go to this book for the proof. Those men wrote truths as from this book. We may hold the sovereignty of God in high esteem by Arthur W. Pink, but he got his truth out of this book. So let it dwell in you richly. All of the writings that men have with regard to the Bible, good men, men that knew something, writing something about the book, we don't go to them. We don't go to articles of faith. We don't go to the confessions of faith. We go to the word of Christ. That's where we're settled. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll never forget going to a camp meeting, invited to speak there, and the first thing they asked me is, what confession of faith did I follow? I didn't know there were any. I said, I just haven't had time to study them. Well, after time, we look at those men that wrote those things, they were having an issue, and they wrote, and they brought the scripture out and said, this is why we believe this. But they went to the word of the Lord. That's where the weight is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also at every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. This is what they used. This is what they preached. This is what they spoke to each other about. This is what they encouraged each other in, was the word of the Lord. This is where our foundation is. This is where we find our hope, is in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. This is our eschatology right here. And it comes from the word of the Lord. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, take confidence in this, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not precede them which are asleep. Take heart. The word of the Lord says it. That's our eschatology. Those who are alive and remain will not precede those who are asleep or dead in the grave. There will be a general resurrection. All people will be raised. They will separate. A shepherd will separate them as a shepherd to separate the sheep from the goats. On the right hand will be the sheep. On the left hand will be the goats. And he will judge. And he will welcome those that he has loved from eternity. And he will condemn those that he didn't. There's our eschatology. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. I ask you to pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. May the word of the Lord have free course. May it be able to be declared freely. Declared openly. Paul, the apostle, was in some places, and at some times he was commanded on his very life, don't preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The other disciples. And he just simply said, the apostle Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, I just ask you to pray that the word of God will have free course. Well, we know that his word, God's word, will not return unto him void, but it will always accomplish that whereunto he hath sent it. But pray that the word of God will have free course. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. Zechariah is called to go into a place of Jerusalem and there bring up the word of the Lord, because there were some people there that said they knew but didn't know and were practicing falsehoods. Here, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the measure. Are they preaching the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrines which are according to godliness? If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can say, what does Christ say about that? Someone may bring up, well, I just believe Jesus died for everybody. Well, let's go to the word of the Lord. Let's go to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's find where he said that. We go to the word and we find out what he said about who he died for. I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, well, there must be some other place. I came not to minister, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. And that is the way it goes. And so let us hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ on every subject. And then finally, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. Now, how long are we to do this? How long has it been declared? Well, Zechariah was called on by the word of the Lord about 500 years before the birth of Christ. Moses was called on 1,500 years before the birth of Christ. And what do we do now? Here it is, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. For the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, the gospel endures forever. It's the same gospel. It's the same word of the Lord. It's the same that we need to preach to the very end. For the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's what Zechariah was called on to preach. That's what Zechariah was called on to say. He's going to say some wonderful things about the coming of the Messiah. But he's going to be doing it as the word of the Lord. Continue that. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word of the Lord, and by the gospel we declare it unto you. The preaching of the gospel declares the word of the Lord. So when Zechariah was told here in verse 2, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers, what's the answer? The gospel by the word of the Lord. Why would you bring up a fountain filled with blood to a people that he had just said, sore displeased with your fathers? What? That's the only hope. A fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And by it, his people lose all their guilty stains. So, the word of the Lord. Where did it come to? Came down to this earth. We have it today. We're thankful for it. When did it come? Came during very turbulent times. It seems that way since the very creation. Turbulent times. Reign of a pagan king. And who did it come to? A man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John or Zechariah or. We'll stop there for tonight.